This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at OnePeloton.com.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Dig Deep. I'm Rashan.
I'm Leanne.
And Dig Deep is all about a chance for myself and Leanne to dig deep into our sisterhood. And it's a chance for us to grow closer together. And we share that experience with you guys too. And we also encourage you guys to try it. So if any of you have been asking your friends or your relatives or whoever some of these questions, or maybe you're planning on doing it, then reach out to us and let us know, because we definitely want to hear all about it. But I have to start straight in and say, I have joined Leanne to do this recording and her hair is completely different. So if you don't know what Leanne looks like, her hair is normally long. In the time that I've known you, it's gone from long, short, long, short, long, short.
Yeah.
But the last time I saw Leanne, her hair was long, like mid-back, would you say?
Yeah.
Her hair was long, mid-back, gorgeous locks, not as in dreadlocks, as in curly locks. And now she's got like a side fringe swoop. The back of her hair is bald. Okay, it's not bald. It's a level one. But it's gone. And I feel like there was no announcement. I saw on Twitter, you post a picture of like hair on the floor and it was like that time again or something like that. And I looked at it and thought, Leanne's trolling. Because if her hair was getting cut, surely we would have known. Like, surely there would have been a discussion. So Leanne, please tell me what made you do this decision. It looks lovely, by the way. But how did this come about?
It's definitely new. You know, I went to the hairdresser, got an appointment, found the one of like two black hairdressers on South Beach, because I'm in Florida right now. And I was like, I want to cut my hair. I was just like, my hair is super damaged. Like, I haven't been taking care of it. All of the flat ironing, which I'm sure many people are familiar with, the heat, the concept of heat damage. And I was like, I need to get something different, but also I need to get rid of this heat damage so that I can have a fresh start. And so I went into the hairdresser and he was like, what do you want to do? So I was like, oh, I want to cut it. And I explained to him everything that I just explained to you. And he was like, cool. And he just like went with a pair of scissors and was like, well, let's just get rid of this right
now.
Did
he ask you first?
No. And it immediately went to like my chin level, which I knew I wanted to go that short anyway, so it wasn't a big deal. Okay. But usually what people do, because I normally, you know, donate my hair to cancer patients, so normally what you do is you wash, blow dry. For anybody who's cutting your hair, you wash, blow dry it, flat iron it out, put it in a braid or in a ponytail, and then they cut the ponytail and you send the ponytail to the Cancer Society or whatever. There's different places in the UK. It's the Princess Trust. You can go send it to them, Little Princess Trust. But he didn't give me that chance, so he just cut it, and then we kept just going shorter and shorter, and this is where we landed.
No, but your hair is like asymmetric, so how did you land there? Because when you're going shorter and shorter, was you going shorter like upwards in length? So you went from like, I'm just for people that can't visually see us, you went from maybe a 10 inch to a 6, and then at that point you then said, cool, I like this length, let me now shave some off.
Exactly, because when we went to the 10 to 6 or whatever it is, he was like, I think we should have some longer in the front and shorter in the back. So I was like, cool, that sounds like a good idea. So he kept this length, and then we started out with maybe a shorter version of this in the back. And then it just kept getting shorter. And then he was like, do you want me to buzz it? And I was like, yeah, just buzz it.
And how did you feel? Because obviously, as black women, our hair is like very important to us. And I feel like, although you have had short hair before, to my knowledge, you haven't had it as short as this in terms of the back. So like, would you, like, and also like newly married, so was you even scared about what Barry might think? Like, how did that feel? How did you think after?
Do you know what? Barry likes short hair in general. A lot of the women that he's dated previously have had short hair. So mm-hmm. I knew he wouldn't mind the fact that I was cutting my hair. And I did tell him that I was going to cut it. So I didn't just go in and like cut it without letting him know. Yeah. But I remember the very first time I cut my hair, again, not as short as this, I sat in the chair and I cried and cried and cried. And it was such an emotional thing for me to lose. I felt like I lost my identity a little bit because I was, mm-hmm. as you said, my hair was so much a part of who I was. And like growing up, people always commented on my hair and my parents were very adamant about me keeping it long. And as it was growing, it was a horrible, actually, I really did not enjoy that haircut. Like I never took pictures of myself or I never posted pictures of myself or anything like that. But as it grew back out and I started playing around with shapes and, you know, different styles and stuff like that, I was like, this is actually quite liberating. And actually this time around, because this is the shortest I've ever gone before in my entire life, when he did it, I just felt like a little liberated, actually. I was like, I feel empowered to a certain extent. I was like, look, my hair is going to grow back. It will need love and tender care, but it will grow back.
And with that, when you didn't like it, was it because you didn't like the style cut for you? So maybe you didn't feel like pretty in it, or was it more your attachment to your long hair?
It's definitely my attachment to my long hair. And I don't think I realized what an attachment I had or how deep of an attachment I had until I cut it. I used to think, oh yeah, it's hair, whatever, you know, I'll cut it when I feel like it. But when it actually came time to do that, I was so nervous and so scared. And I just, fortunately, a friend of mine actually cut my hair because she's a stylist in DC. And it was, so it was a safe space for me to cry, but it was definitely an emotional process and it took hours. Like I think every time I started crying, she would stop cutting my hair and was like, do you want me to go more? And I kept saying yes. Like I was pushing myself to see what I would feel like without long hair. And I think now I'm okay with it, but this is definitely new. As it turns out, Barry does not like this cut.
Okay.
which is fine. And he was like, you know, it's important that you like it. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, it will grow back, but I like it for the time being. And I feel like I needed a fresh start for not just for my hair, but for my own personhood. And I feel like this is me giving myself a fresh start to start the new year properly. So the new year just started for me yesterday.
I don't know if I ever told you that I wanted to cut my hair off. Have I told you that before?
I think you have. And you said you were worried about the shape of your head or something, Lana.
Yeah. So in 2020, lockdown happened. And I was like, this is a great time for me to cut my hair off. Because if I don't like it, nobody's going to be seeing me anyway. So I didn't cut it off. I just cut all the perm off basically and went really short to like maybe a 6 inch. Yeah. And since then I've really been obsessing over just cutting my hair really, really short. And there's this Instagram account called Official Honey Hand. So for anyone based in like the UK or I think London specifically, they are who I think are the best people to go to get like pixie cuts or to get like a pixie wig. And I've just really, really been contemplating it. But the reason why I haven't done it is because of what you just said about your first experience. I know how dramatic I am. Even when I get braids, and I get braids all the time, I never like it when it's first done. So I'm like, I'm gonna get this, cut all my hair off, and just be stuck feeling that I look like I'm ugly and just feeling hideous. So I've just kind of avoided it.
Do you know what though? It might surprise you. I do think that's a lot of the reason that I didn't like the cut the first time was because of how I was feeling about myself.
Right.
And adding another piece of or another change into my life, which was already very dramatic at the time, I think just added fuel to the fire. Mm-hmm. But as I came back to myself and started to feel like I was falling in love with myself again and like spending more quality time with myself, my hair actually became so much less of an issue. And I actually ended up keeping that short hairstyle for about a year.
Wow.
Okay. The initial shock is obviously a big one, but I think it pushed me to find other ways of loving finding yourself. Myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you can relate to this as well, but I also read and have heard firsthand from people that I've spoken to that like cutting off their hair makes them feel lighter, like almost mentally, because a lot of trauma is stored in our hair, like as well as our body.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and part of me did think like, you know, I've done therapy, I've done some of the work, but maybe I can feel even more lighter if I just cut it all up.
I was going to say, shit, maybe I should cut the rest of this off.
No, because I'm like, baby, because my thing as well is, because I cut my hair so short before and now it's grown, like, I literally took my hair out of braids the other day and I couldn't believe how long it was that I was actually genuinely cutting my hair when I was cutting the braid.
Oh, shoot.
But as part of that process, I was like, am I really going to keep growing my hair out to grow it back long only to then cut it all off? Because I know I want to cut my hair at some point. Like, it's a burning thing inside of me. It's just more of, like, the fear of it, which is why now I found the official Honey Hand paid. I'm like, maybe that's my in-between. Maybe I should get a pixie wig, because her wigs look amazing. And, you know, I'm not really a wig person. Yeah. But maybe I should get the pixie wig, see if I like it, and then if I like it, cut my own hair.
Yeah, I feel like the wig is a good way to go, because obviously it's something... And that's the beauty about embracing different styles, right? Like, you can try on a wig, you can do braids, you can get faux locks, like whatever it is that you want to do, just do it. And if you like it and you like it well enough to think that you want to do it to your own hair permanently, then do that.
Yeah, shout out faux locks, man. Faux locks and braids are like my favorites. Yeah, but I haven't got the temperament to be sitting down and getting it done or taking it out. Same. Why did I take out my braids the other day from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. That's actually two back-to-back full days of work.
You did it in chunks, I'm assuming, like in sections. No. You sat there and just did it all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because wow. The lady that did my hair decided to, one, do it extra long, that's not what I asked for, and two, do it small, which I did ask for. But now I'm like, whilst I prefer how the small looks on my head, I don't think I'll ever get it done again. Unless I can pay for somebody else to take it out, because my hands were hurting. But anyway, we've spoken a lot about hair. Let's get into Dig Deep for today.
Who's going first? Are you going first or am I going first?
You can go first. Oh, no, I can go first. Me.
Okay. All right. Do it. I'm scared. Every time you do this, I get so scared about these questions.
No, it's not scary this week. Fill in the blanks. If I am a blank, then you're a blank.
Wow. If I am... It's weird. What initially came to mind was, if I am an introvert, then you are an extrovert. But that's not true. Because I feel like we're both...
The same.
Introverted extroverts or extroverted introverts, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, that's a hard one. If I am the auntie.
Who calls you auntie? Nobody calls you that.
Leanne Ailey calls me auntie. She does.
What? In what context does she call you that?
She just feels like I'm like the cool young auntie of the group.
She needs to stop. She needs to stop. There is no way I look at you as an auntie. Are you crazy?
My friend Shane calls me auntie as well, because I am so out of the loop in terms of like pop culture, which I don't think I actually am, but I guess for him I am.
You're way more in the loop than I am.
I don't know.
You don't give me auntie vibes.
You're the young cool sis.
Okay, I like that. Because they're still related. No, I need to talk to the other Liam, because that is very cheeky. You can't be aging you, please.
I don't think it's a way of aging me. I think it's also the fact that, like, when we first started this work, right, it was you, Leanne, and Livs, who everybody will remember. And all of you are, like, 10 years younger than me. So in the same way that you've said you look at me like an older sis in some instances, not all, but in some. I think she just refers to me as like the auntie between the four of you.
She needs to change it. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't impose my views, but we need to be older sis. It's not auntie.
Okay. If you were a superhero, what would be your three superpowers? Very exciting question.
My three superpowers would be the ability to heal, the ability to teleport, and the ability to control the weather.
Okay, so two things that I need to ask you. Why the weather?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. This is not a question, more so a comment. But every time I've asked this question, because it's, I feel like it's a common icebreaker question. Every time I've asked this question, whenever there's a room full of people and most of them are women, most women will give an answer that involves helping other people. So healing or something to that effect, like you just said. And I think it's mm-hmm. very interesting that men never say that. I've never heard a man say, oh, I would want to heal people.
Well, I think, you know, as women, yeah, well, definitely for myself, I'm quite empathetic by nature. And I feel like because of that, it would then make the exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I never said that out loud. Sounds a bit weird. It would then make the exhaustion that I get from carrying empathy around, like carrying other people's like emotions, no baggage and stuff. Sometimes strangers, you know, not even like something someone's told me, but
yeah.
It would make that easier if I could then actually give them tangible solutions.
Yeah, that you know? Makes sense.
And even just the it world, is- like, I feel like if we could all be healed, which obviously would defeat the purpose of living and like how the world is designed to be. But if we was all healed, it would be such, there'd be so much more happiness because there would be so much more less things to worry about. Like, think about being healed from trauma, yeah. being healed from pain. Like, all the people that would be alive. Like, do you get what I mean? You wouldn't even be worried about being a lone woman and walking down and something bad happening to you because it's like, whoop, I'm going to be healed tomorrow. Is this even going to matter?
That's interesting because you're actually talking about emotional healing more so than physical healing.
Or when both. I first said it, I meant physical healing, but obviously it extends to both. And I'm just saying that, like, yeah, you get what I'm saying. And then with the weather, it was because I thought teleport would be good because I hate being in London and using public transport. It's the absolute ghetto. And I also don't particularly enjoy sitting in traffic for a very long period of time. So being able to be like, boop, 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 and I'm here is great. But then imagine boop, boop, booping, booping, and it's raining or snowing. Absolutely not. So I need the weather to be on good vibes. Also because, just imagine, my schedule didn't allow for me to leave London. So London, I can't teleport anywhere currently, yeah. But it's winter. Baby, I need to make the weather be hot like it's in Jamaica. Because I can't be going through that stress. The amount of times I keep seeing people's TikToks of them in Jamaica right now on my feed. And I'm like, but it's cold in England. But if I could just make it a bit warmer, you know, I could close my eyes, play some reggae, feel like I'm in Jamaica sun. So,
but then you wouldn't have the beach. No, the weather's a good shout. I've always wanted to have telepathic powers. Like, I've always wanted to be able to tell what people were thinking. I think that's my number one superpower.
Is that I used to want that. But when you're a chronic overthinker, that doesn't work. Because I, much as I'll know what you're thinking. Because do you think with these powers, yeah, I know it's hypothetical, will people know that I have these powers?
Good question. Nobody ever asked that. I don't think so, no.
Because if you know, I know what you're thinking, then I'm never going to know what you're thinking because you're always going to not think what you want to think when I'm around.
But you can't really control your thoughts. There's a show on Disney Plus and there's a character. Why can't I remember this name of the show? But and maybe it's on Netflix. But woman, she has a superpower and she knows exactly what people are thinking all the time. Oh, no. True Blood. That's exactly. It's a vampire show. I think it's finished now. But Netflix, True Blood, really good. But she can always tell what people are thinking. And even people who try to control their thoughts eventually slip up because you can't control what you're thinking all the time.
Right.
And so at various points, she will always know what people really, really, really feel. And she actually felt like it was a curse in the show because she was like constantly bombarded with people's thoughts.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of those things that for me, it's like the idea of it, I would like, but the reality of it, I wouldn't be able to manage. I'll be messaging you left, right and center, Leanne, You never did hear what the man said about me on the bus. Leanne, you know the man just... Do you know what I mean? I'd ruin my own proposal. I'd be like, the man is planning something because he's looking at pescatarian restaurants that are Michelin star.
There's an episode on the show where she's like in a bar and every single man is hitting on her and they say the most disgusting things like, oh, I wish I could do this or I wish I could do that to her. And it's just, I can't imagine, I guess on that level, like as a woman, I can't imagine constantly being bombarded with like disgusting people saying disgusting things about you, calling you a whore, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's very crazy. Yeah. Okay. Describe one experience you wish we're going to have in the future.
Ooh, I know. That's an easy one. Because we haven't traveled together still yet. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to us, you know, getting sponsored by the tourist board of Antigua.
So I can show you the beautiful country.
And being, because I've never really been, I think I've spent like a day there, like in transit to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to do some island hopping. Leanna Ailey actually messaged me yesterday and was like, there are no direct flights from between Jamaica and Barbados. Mm-hmm. So the inter-Caribbean travel thing is starting to happen. So I feel like I'm really looking forward to us doing like separate and apart from a whole retreat for our entire group. Just to do like a girlfriend's trip where we do a little bit of island hopping for like 3 weeks or something.
Well, you know, I envision myself living a life, lady of leisure. So soon I'll be able to come and visit you often and island hop to these places.
Pick me up in the PJ.
Imagine, Leanne, meet me at Montego Bay Airport. Rashan, it's Kingston. I know, but the PJ couldn't fit there today. Mm-hmm. Beep, beep. Sorry, that was a bird in the sky. The thing is, we laugh about these things, yeah. Maybe not the private jet. But the island hopping, I genuinely, like, I know that's going to happen. And it's going to be in luxury. It's island hopping. You know, we have to be careful about the things we say, okay? Island hopping in luxury. I don't want the God, the universe, whoever, to misconstrue what we want.
Mm-hmm. No hostels. 5-star only.
Because we want to as well. Not because we're on the run, you know? Let's just be crystal clear.
You know what? I was thinking about this yesterday and I think about how much I think you and I talk about this all the time, but like how much we invest in like, you know, making sure that we have money saved up. And an article came up yesterday to say that more Gen Zs are spending more money on like Birkins than buying a house, which is obviously very irresponsible. But it's difficult, right? Because at some point in time, a mortgage is difficult to obtain. But if you have the cash ready, you know, you can buy yourself a Birkin or you can get somebody to buy you a Birkin in some cases. And I was like, it's very important to be fiscally responsible, of course. And I've learned a lot from you in terms of, you know, saving and making sure that you have enough put away for a rainy day. But also when you get to a certain age, what is the point of having money if you're not enjoying your life?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a balance, isn't it, of like short-term gratification versus long-term gratification. And I also think where you grow up and the environment you grow up in is going to dictate that for a lot of people. So let's say if you grew up and I was going to say no shade to anyone, but just the example you gave doesn't apply to anyone I know anyway. But let's say you grew up in an environment where you was always in the shitty school shoes. You was always in rundown clothes. You never got to wear name brands. You never got to wear designers. You always felt odd in your social group because of how you showed up, yeah? When you then first get money, I do think the first thing you're going to want to spend money on is things like Birkin bags, is things like designer clothes to kind of validate your existence and like who you are in your social circle. Whereas I think when you didn't grow up like that and you may have grown up, I don't even mean rich, you know, I just mean maybe wearing like a Nike or an Adidas or a New Balance or the odd Burberry jacket. You know, there was those jackets that, I don't know if it was a Caribbean thing, but there was like that Burberry inline jacket that you would have as a child.
On the inside lining.
I feel like when you're growing up in that sort of environment, then you don't really maybe want to chase it as much or try to keep up with the Joneses because it's like, I actually already had it. So you can focus on things that are a bit more, that have longer term gratification. And I don't think that's like a black and white rule, but I feel like sometimes when I do speak to people who are like the example you gave, that's always the stark difference that I can understand why they have that sort of mentality. It's never really because I'm going to collect the Birkin bag, I'm not even going to touch it, and I'm going to resell it in 10 years time and buy a house.
Exactly.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But then also, I guess some people, they don't want a house. I feel like the idea of having a mortgage, especially in the UK, or when you look at the UK versus Europe, it's very much a UK thing. Like when you live in Switzerland or France, there's not really so much a talk or discussion around home ownership because it's more affordable there.
Well, yeah, probably the that's only reason why,
but it's more affordable there. So actually people rent day to day most of the time anyway, and it's fine. So I guess people also place values on different things. Like I've met lots of people who are like, I don't really want to buy a house in the UK. I will never buy a house in the UK, but I want to buy a house abroad.
Yeah, 100%. And it made me think about my childhood. And, you know, I grew up with two parents who are very different. They have very different responses to how to save and what to save for and that kind of thing. And I think the one thing that they both aligned on, even though my mom was a bit of a spendthrift and my dad was a bit of a miser, if we're putting them on opposite ends of the spectrum, is that they really made the point to invest in their children. And investing in their children, just going beyond education. Obviously, I was fortunate enough that my parents didn't have any loans when I finished school, because my parents were able to pay for my undergraduate degree, which was incredibly helpful. But what they also did was they made sure that we traveled. They made sure that, you know, that Instagram meme where it's like making sure that my daughter isn't impressed by somebody's dusty son taking them to Miami. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My parents, or my mom more specifically, made sure that we were traveled, that we had experiences. And so now when I think about how I want to spend my money, it's not necessarily on the material things. It's about the experiences. You know, I want to make sure that my stepson has, gets to travel and gets to see new things, because those things build character and they're really important. Yeah. And if I have a kid for myself, when, touch wood, fingers crossed, whatever, beyond education, my emphasis will not be on buying stuff for them, like clothes and shoes and jewelry and that kind of thing. It will be about making sure, to make sure that they're well-adjusted individuals who can take on the world for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because it made me think about like my childhood. And my mum used to always go on like one girl trip a year up until a certain point. She always did that. She'd go on her little party weekenders or whatever. And I remember always wanting to be like her, because she would be like, because my nan can like make clothes, and all her friends would come to my nan's house, and my nan would be designing their clothes or their costumes for these like themed events. But we always also went on one, at least one, as a family as well. And that was something we always did. Same. So that's why for me, I think traveling is so important and so ingrained in me, because that's always been something that I've been fortunate enough to have done from like a young age. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It, as I said, I think it helps to build character. And also when you get to a certain point, you know, you want to enjoy the spoils or the fruits of your labor.
But no, experiences are definitely better.
For sure.
I was talking to someone the other day and they were talking about skiing and like black people don't do skiing. And I'm like, I've been skiing. And they're like, when? And I was like, when I was 14.
I've never been skiing.
And they're like, when you was 14? And I'm like, yeah, on a school trip. And I remember, because they were basically trying to assume that I was like chatting rubbish, yeah. And I was like, my mum really made us do every experience possible. And I literally had a conversation with my mum where I was like, how on earth did you afford that? Because now I'm older and I understand salaries and money. How on earth did you afford to pay for that ski trip?
Yeah.
And pay for me to do all my clubs and my brother's clubs and to live. Like, how on earth did that work? And she was just like, you know, when you're a mum, you make things happen, you make things work. But it's like, there's so much value in those experiences. Even when it comes to, like, being in certain environments and having that as a talking point. Do you get what I mean? Because sometimes, especially when you're black and you're black and you're trying to, you know, chase the corporate ladder, or you're in certain rooms where you stick out like a sore thumb and they're talking about things that they think exclude you, there's a lot of experiences that I have that I'm able to be involved in because my mum always made that a priority over things like maybe Christmas gifts. Like I didn't really
exactly.
I got a gift every year growing up. I've never not got a gift from my mum, but my mum's, I didn't really think Christmas is a time where it was like, I can't wait to see what gifts I'm going to get from my mum. Like, it just, that's just never been it. But you know, because I've said it before on the podcast and off of it, that like Christmas is my favorite time of year. Mm-hmm. And it's because of what we do together as a family. And I feel like
the experience
as a generation.
Yeah.
As a generation, especially in this cost of living crisis, let's all just focus on experiences, guys, that we could do for free in our homes. Let's focus on what we can do for free at home. Yes.
Very true. I don't know if you've seen that other Instagram thing where it's like you step out of the house and there's like a $50 that comes up, then you take another step and it's like $100, and it's like, no, let's just stay at home now.
The other day I went to work, yeah, and we normally get free lunch. I went to work and I was just really hungry, so I bought something on the way, £5 out. Then I missed the lunch by accident, so I had to buy lunch, £10 out. When I got home, I said, wow,
easily £100.
So I really spent like £35-40 on travel and food for the day. No way.
That doesn't include all of the things that you potentially would have bought on Amazon.
You need to stop. Guys, I use Leanne's Amazon Prime, yeah? So Leanne can see when I'm ordering stuff. And you know, the other day, I've actually slowed down a bit because I was like, you have. I think I'm developing a problem.
Yeah, you and Jaleen, shout out to Jaleen, definitely spend the most on Amazon.
Yeah, it's bad. And you know what I used yesterday for the first time is TikTok Shop.
You can shop on TikTok?
Yeah, and when you go on it next, you're going to realize there's people always advertising stuff. And I've never, ever looked at it as a legit thing. I thought it was like eBay where people might sell you a car and then when it arrives, it's a toy car, that sort of vibe. But I put it on my Snapchat yesterday and I was like, is TikTok Shop a real thing? And everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm buying things. So yesterday I paid, I think, £8 for 80 toilet rolls.
Wow. Wait, so who's selling you these 80 toilet rolls?
I don't know. The man in the video.
You mean a man that could be like doing things to the toilet rolls before?
No, they're all packaged up. And my mom did buy some toilet roll the other day. And she said her toilet roll was great. She got like 72 or something ridiculous like that.
Gosh.
And it's like £10. You know, my normal toilet roll that I buy for my house is £15 for like 24. Yeah, that's I'll be crazy. Using Amazon TikTok Shop.
I will check out TikTok Shop. I didn't know. Yeah. Shout out to Aunt V.
No, honestly. And we share a TikTok account. So it'll be very interesting to see when you can see my spending.
Okay, next question, which might fall into this actually. What is your biggest hope for the future?
So I'm going to merge two together because I think they interlink. My biggest hope for the future is that I continue to live a life that peace is centered in the middle of, and that I genuinely experience a life where I feel happy and free. Not content, happy and free. And as part of that, something I was talking to one of my best friends about this morning was my singleness. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you know, in this good old 2024, I've been intentionally dating, okay? But as part of that process of intentionally dating, I'm always being turned off by the process of it at the same time. Mm. Like, I am enjoying it. I am loving it, you know? I'm also not wasting my time or anyone's dusty son's time. This is fantastic. But also, I'm like, maybe I'm expecting too much. And I don't mean in terms of standards, but I mean in terms of like, you know, when you were younger and you would talk to someone, it would be like, yeah, I'm talking to this guy, I'm excited. And you just be so excited and like tunnel vision about the person, yeah? Whereas when I'm meeting people right now, it's like, yeah, I can talk to you. You're not anything bad, but you're not exciting me. You're not intriguing me. It's not enough.
Fair. I mean, I think there's two sides to this. One, it could be like you're starting to view the intentional nature of dating makes you think about the serious things more quickly. And so it takes away from the excitement of somebody. It's like, does this person have a 401k? Is this person, you know, responsible? Is this person safe? Whatever, whatever. Whereas when you're younger, you're just giddy about the idea that you're dating somebody. And maybe there's, and I say this to you all the time, but there is something about dating multiple people, shopping around.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm finally doing it. I'm a new girl this year.
When you meet the person that you want to like exclusively date, that's the person that you're going to get excited about because you have a means of comparison.
But do you know what I did just yesterday? I got rid of everybody I was multiple dating.
Why?
I said, you know what? I said, you know what? I don't want any of you.
Why?
Because, Leanne, I just thought, no.
Because you got frustrated.
Yeah, and the thing is, no one's necessarily doing anything wrong. I just don't think they're doing anything right.
Okay, that's a good reason.
It just feels like, it feels like one level up from mediocre. And not in terms of the people, by the way. I just mean in terms of, like, everything. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly. I don't want to use examples just in case they happen to listen, you know? I don't want to offend anyone. That happened to me in the past. But I just feel like I don't think my interactions with said people or persons is giving what it needs to give.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's and fair. I think the idea of me not talking to them anymore didn't make me feel sad. So it made me feel like I probably shouldn't talk to you anymore then.
Yeah, if it doesn't even give you a tinge of sadness, or you feel like, oh, I wish actually maybe I should reach back out to that person, then it's definitely not worth it.
Okay, one of them I did think that, but that might be for the wrong reasons. Anyway, so back to me. How do you think money may change me over time?
I don't think it would. I mean, I think, no, I don't think it would. I mean, I think you're, the reason that you will end up having loads of money and be extremely wealthy is because you're so fiscally responsible. Like, you obviously take saving quite seriously. So I can't imagine you winning the lotto tomorrow and then suddenly just start splurging. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't be in your character. What I think you would do is you'd probably be maybe more generous and giving of your money, like, because you'd have the surplus. Yeah, I think that's the only difference.
Because as I asked you the question, I answered it for myself, and that was what my answer was. Yeah, I'd be more giving with it. I'd be more like, Leanne, let's island hop, it's on me. Whereas if it was to go now, I'd be like, Leanne, let's island hop within a £3,000 budget between and then a £2,000 budget for spending money, which we will not over that's how, do you know what I mean? It'll be, it's a different lifestyle, yeah. Baby.
Different vibe. You'd have that disposable income.
Although I must say, because you always say that you're learning from me, but what I learned from you when we spoke about money before and like treating ourselves and being kinder to ourselves, I want to let you know that I have been doing that this year.
Good.
Not so much in gifts and stuff physically for me, but more in terms of how much money I've allowed myself to have each month.
Okay.
I've actually doubled it this year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
But see, you were still fiscally responsible because you still waited until new job, more money to double the amount of spending on yourself.
I had a conversation with my financial advisor, and when I spoke to him and I told him how much I give myself to spend each month, he saw how he looked at me. I said, okay, yeah, so I'm going to change it now. I see this as a sign of validation to Leanne's point. I'm just going to up it now. And he was like, yes, Vishan, why are you spending so little? And it made me just feel like a lot better. I'm trying to be more in control. So, you know, like the people that I'm used to giving money to a lot, and I say giving, but I actually mean borrowing money to a lot.
Yeah.
I've actually messaged two out of those three people and just said, you know, I find it hard to spend money freely on myself because I feel like I have to always have a reserve to help you guys. And as a result of that, I'm not going to be helping you guys in the same way moving forward. And that was quite uncomfortable and hard to do, but I've also done that. And I feel like that's going to make me feel a lot more lighter throughout the year.
I was going to say, how do you feel now that you've done it, and how did they receive that information?
So with one person, when I told them off the back of giving them more money, and I'd given them quite a lot of money in a short space of time. And I didn't just say it with no context. I explained that, like, before I used to have financial anxiety, I don't anymore. And actually, every time you keep asking me to borrow money, because it's so frequent, it's almost acting like a trigger to that. And I don't really feel like I can just live life freely. I'm always saving for your, I don't know, I don't want to say downfall, but do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And they said, I understand. They said, I understand and I get it. But I also said in the message is that it doesn't mean I'm going to stop if you're in extreme circumstances, I won't still support you. And it also doesn't mean that my advice, I won't still offer you advice and guidance. But with that particular person, I've given them so much advice and support that they never take. And that's why it's more frustrating, because it's like, you actually have no reason to be asking me for money. You're asking me for money because you don't follow the advice that you've been given.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually quite easy. It's not like I'm saying save all of your like money and like I'm giving, like, yeah, that's another story. And then the other person, when I told them, because this is person 2 out of 3 now, they responded and said, I agree. They said, I completely agree. Oh. So I feel like it's fine. And I also think like, I've kind of always been doing this for people since I was 14.
Mm.
Or for those people since I was 14. So I kind of feel like
a long time.
You can also see that this isn't me. This is genuinely me coming from a place of I'm choosing myself now, as opposed to it being like, I don't want to help you personally. It's not an attack on you. It's actually that I need to do this for me. And I feel like I'm, even with the limited resources that I've had up until this point, I've always been very given. And I still will give ultimately. I'm never going to say no, but I just needed to say that so they knew to stop using me as a reliable source. Because I feel like for them, it's like, I don't have to try and save money or spend money in a particular way, because I'm just going to go to Shan. And actually, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
Everyone should be trying to do with the best of what they can with what they've got. And then in the extreme circumstances, or in certain circumstances, they then go to someone that you can rely on to borrow money. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. It can't be the norm. And actually, in some ways, constantly being there for them and having constantly supplementing whatever it is they have is crippling them, because they'll never be in a position where they have
absolutely
to. Yeah.
Because they don't actually know what it's like to have to, well, for one of them, they don't actually know what it's like to have to live or survive, let's say, on limited resources. And I'm not talking about, just for people that don't understand me and they're going to take this the wrong way, I'm not talking about being on the poverty line. These people have resources. But I mean, they're not living smart.
Yeah.
They're getting cabs everywhere, doing things they shouldn't be doing because of whatever. So yeah. Last question from you.
My last question for you is, if our relationship was represented by a painting, what would the painting look like? Such a random question.
Okay. If I had to draw, if our relationship, if it was represented by a painting. Okay, this is mad cheesy, okay? But this is the first thing that came to mind. If it was represented by painting, because I can see this visually in my head. So imagine a landscape piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It's massive. We're talking A1. Yeah. And then it's going to have 4 columns. And then in each 4 column, it's going to represent a different season. So winter, spring, autumn, summer. I know that's not the order, but that's how it's going to go. So it's going to have like, it's going to be like strikingly different, each 4 thing. And then in the foreground of each of those 4 things, it's going to be me and you in all those different seasons. So it'll be me and you 4 times. And it's basically to represent that, like, no matter what happens, no matter what season life brings us, we always got each other's backs. And that's on sisterhood.
That's actually a very creative.
No, I did get a star in art. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm over here, can't draw a straight line.
No, I can't draw.
Yeah, I sucked at art. It was not my vibe at all. Well, that's my last question. That was a good round of questions. I feel like I like the last question about the painting, although I thought it was relatively cheesy at first. You know, we've discussed growth and embracing new hairstyles and new beginnings.
And I feel like it was quite light as well. I think some of these episodes we do, you know, I'm quite an emotional babe. I feel like sometimes the questions that I'm choosing are a bit too emotional and sad and trauma. So I said, you know, for this new week, let's have a lighter set of questions.
Fair. I'm glad we did. All right, folks, we will be back with you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Woman CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Woman across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.